We begin the current daf Masechet this Kiddushin daf Yud Tes. We begin 6 lines down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with a related discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had this machlekes regarding if Mois Rishonis LeKiddushin Nitnu or not. When a father sells his daughter as an Omer Vriya to a master, for his daughter as a slave, those original monies can be ultimately transferred into what's called Yud. The master or his son can get engaged to that woman, even though they're not giving her any Mois Kedushin, because they'll transfer that monies which was given to her father for the sale as a maidservant, can then be transferred and turned into money of Kedushin. Now, there was a machlekes regarding if do we define the original monies as monies of Kedushin or not, and the halachic ramifications of that is regarding the machlekes where Rabbi Kiva said you can't have shifchas achar ishus. If that original transfer of money which the father received was for the purposes of including intrinsic in that is the ishus which can be transferred into the yud, ultimately then he can't sell her at a later point for shifchas. But if you say not, then you say that no, he only sold her as a shifcha. The adin has the choice later on to transfer that into kedushin, and therefore it would be only shifchas that he had sold her for, which then you could do shifchas achar shifchas. So regarding that machlekes, the Gemara brings the following discussion which will then illustrate this machlekes that was in the opinion of Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, if he holds Mois Rishonis, will the Kedushin itnu or not? So the Gemara starts off by Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish asks the following question. Mao shemiyad adam lebenoi katan. What's halacha regarding Giyud? Can a master do that, engage his Omev Ria, where the Torah says he has the choice, or his son, him or his son could do the Yud? So the question is, could he even engage her to his son that's a minor? Where generally a minor son cannot create Kedushin, but maybe for Yud it's different, as the Gemara explains the question. Benoy Amar Rahman, the Torah says that either the master or his son can do Yud with the Amar Vriya. So Benoy Kaldu, any son that he has, whether an adult or a minor. So in this case, a minor would be able to do Yud. Adomor, maybe Benoy Dumi Dide. No, we see the Pasuk is equating the master with his son, which is Mahu Gadol, just like the father is an adult, Abenoy Gadol, so too the son has to be an adult. What's halacha? Could it be a minor or not? So Amar Bzera Tashema. Bzera says, let's bring a raya from the following brisa. The pasuk says in Vayikra, which talks about the penalty of Eishes Ish, of a man having relations with a married woman. The pasuk says, Ish, if there's going to be a man, which the brisa says, that's prat lakotan, that's excluding a minor. Which the pasuk then continues, Asher Yinaf es Eishes Ish, which will act with adultery with a married woman, which is called the wife of a man. So again, that's prat leishes katan, says the Brisa. That's also excluding the wife of a minor. So the halacha of adultery, getting the death penalty, which it speaks about there in that pasuk, has to be an adult man having relations with the wife of adult man. But if it's a minor that's having the relations in adultery, or she's a wife of a minor, then it's not going to be the death penalty that it says there in the pasuk. That's what the Brisa explains. Says Reb Zeira, V'i Amrit Miyayid, if you were entertained to say that a minor could do Yud, and specifically if the father says to his son, you do Yud, then then you find that there is marriage to a minor. But you see from the Pasig that to be considered an Ashes Ish has to be that she's married to an adult. Obviously, Yud cannot be done with a minor because then you would have adultery even with the wife of a minor. Now that the Gemara responds to Reb Zeira, V'elamai, so what do you want to say? That a minor cannot do Yud. Then the question is actually more difficult the other way. Why does the pasuk come to exclude and say, oh, there's no death penalty if a man commits adultery with a woman who's a wife of a minor? There's no conceptualization, there's no way of having a wife of a minor to say that if there is such a case, that there's not going to be the death penalty. Rather, says the Gemara, the opposite of Rebbe Zera. Tivshit mina d'miyayid. Actually, you should conclude from that pasuk that actually a minor could do yid. But the Torah is telling you that the wife of that minor, if a man commits adultery with her, will not have the death penalty. Because obviously there is such a case of having the wife of a minor, and that Torah is coming to tell you that there's no misa in such a case. So obviously a minor could do yid. And that on Rav Ashi says no raya. Hacha b'yavim ben tesha shonim v'yim echad haba al yivim te'eskinen. You're right, a minor himself can never do kedushin, so that's not a viable case. And we also are saying that a son cannot do yid as a minor either. So what's the case of when the Torah is saying that when she's the wife of a minor, that there's not going to be the death penalty? Says Rav Ashi, that's specifically when you have a man who dies without any children. His brother, who's supposed to do Yibam, is just over 9 years old, who he has Bia with the Yavama. That's the case that the Torah is referring to. With the Midaraisi Chazilei, biblically, there is a Zika, there's a bond between this Yavama and this Yavam when he's already at the age of 9, because we consider his Bia as halachic acceptance for acquiring this Yavama to inherit her, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, where the Bia of a 9-year-old is considered halachically like a Bia, and if he has Bia with the Yavama, he acquires her. So that's what the Pasuk is referring to. We would think that since biblically the Yavama is appropriate for this Yavama, although he's not an adult, but he's already over age 9, which we consider his Bia Bia. And therefore, so we would have thought that if now another man commits adultery with this woman, he would be liable for the death penalty of having relation with the wife of a man. That's what the Bryce is teaching. Then no. It has to be a man committing adultery with the wife of a man. The husband has to be an adult, because there is a case when the husband could be a minor, not by Yid, because by Yid we could say that it only has to be an adult, but it could be referring to a Yavam, where a Yavam over age 9, his Bia is a Bia, and biblically has acquired this woman as his wife. So although she is an Ashes Ish, but not an Ish as an adult, and therefore there's not going to be a death penalty. So the Gemara says, "Am I have Allah?" So Abzeri's proof was not a proof, and neither way is it a proof. So what's the conclusion regarding could a minor, could the son, if he's a katan, do yid? So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here, that Amr b'Aivo, Amr b'Yanai. He says, clearly, ein yid ela b'gadol, yid can only be done with an adult. So even if it's a son, he can't do it if he's a minor. And ein yid ela medas, yid has to be done with intention, with awareness. So the Gemara asks, Tarti? What, these are two different halachas? They're actually essentially one. In other words, since you're saying that yid has to be with das, now, obviously, it could only be done with a gadol, because we know that a katan is considered someone that ain't by das. He doesn't have the appropriate intelligence and awareness. So on that, the Gemara says, no, matam kamar. It's actually one halacha, and it's saying, what's the reason? And that is, matam ein yid el begadol. What's the reason why the halacha is that yud could only be done with an adult? Is lefisha ein yud el medas. Because this yud, again, which is a certain unique type of a kedushin, of a marriage that's done with a slave woman, a Jewish slave woman, that the master or his son could do yud, since it has to be done with an awareness to create a kedushin, which is what yud is doing, it's creating that transfer, that since there's has to be done with das, that's what can only be done with a gadol. So again, that's the conclusive proof that yud cannot be done with a minor. Now the Gemara says, V'iba yisem, if you want to resolve the question that we asked on this halacha, Reb Aiva Amar B'Yanai, that we said seemingly, what, it's not two halachas, it's one halacha. So the first answer in the Gemara said, you're right. It's explaining why is it only begadol, because it has to be done with das. And that the Gemara says, you could actually say that it is two different halachas. Now, maimi das, what does it mean when it says yud has to be done with das? It doesn't mean the man's das, because that's the same thing as saying he has to be an adult. Rather, it's midas di da. It's a reference to saying that we need the girl's consent, her awareness. Now that is because the Tani Abaye Bereder Bavo, it says in the Pasuk, Asher lo ya'ada, that if the master will not do yid with her, where the Pasuk there says that if they're not willing to go ahead and do a chesed with this maidservant and transfer the kesev of the kinyan to the kesev of kedushin, so then they have to go ahead and allow Vehefta to find some way that she could prorate her redemption. But what we see from this is, melamish tzarech liya'ada, the word of yid has the word of yediya in there, of awareness. So the Pasuk is telling us that you have to notify her, you have to create her awareness, her consent, her intelligence regarding what's happening over here from the transfer of this avdus to kedushin. Now, moreover, who tanala, that is, Abaye had taught this braisa, who amarla, and he explained by himself what's the reason that you have to explain to her, that you have to have her das. Is he explains because b'kedusha yud, we're talking about the kedushin of yud, that's what the pasuk is talking about. Now, valib the Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, it's going like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, and that's why we introduced this whole discussion, going back from the discussion of the previous daf. The amma that he says, mois harishaynis, the original monies the father received from the adon when he was purchasing his daughter as a slave, lav l'kedushin nitnu, they were not given for the purposes of kedushin, and therefore, what creates the kedushin then? If the original monies that were given to the father was not kedushin money, what creates the yiyud, the kedushin, is the amount of prutas that are still left of the work that she owes the master. Now, therefore, we never had the father's yediyah, his das, his consent in in the beginning when he received that money for kedushin, because somebody's got to accept that kedushin. Someone has to consent to the husband's kedushin. Now, therefore, since originally there was no one on the girl's side that was notified, so there was no kedushin. And since there's no kedushin, that's why right now the pasuk is saying, according to the interpretation we're going with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, is that she has to be notified right now. So the das is the girl's das, because you can't create kedushin bal karcha. Now, if you would have said that the father's original acceptance was for kedushin purposes, the father already had that consent. We already had his yediyah. And that's where it's always in potential that the master could utilize that kedushin, which is something intrinsic over there. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't given for kedushin purposes. It's the adon who right now is transferring that amount of prutas that are left in the work, and he's saying, okay, let's use that for kedushin. That needs a kedas right now. That's the other halacha of das. Again, there's a halacha that yid is only with a gadol. That's regarding the man. And then the halacha of das was regarding the woman. Now, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, he says that actually, afilatema likedushinin. You could even say that it's not true. The Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds that the original monies were given for kedushin. Now, the halachic relevance of this, as Rashi points out, which we had this discussion in the previous daf, is regarding if a man sells his daughter for ishus. So then it's if there's yud with the master, and then she becomes a widow, so then the father's not allowed to go ahead and now sell her anymore as a shifcha, according to Rabbi Kiva. So that's what Nachman Yitzchok is pointing out, and he's saying that you could even say, not like the way the Gemara previously had interpreted Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's interpretation, where he holds the original money was not forgiven for Kedushin. According to that interpretation, the father would be able to sell her again, because that would be Shevchas Achar Shevchas. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok is saying, no, you could even interpret that the original monies that the father received was for Kedushin, and hence, therefore, like according to Rabbi Kiva, the father would not be able to sell her again. So if that's the case, if it was originally given for Kedushin purposes, then the question then becomes, so what is this das that we need from the girl? Why do we need her das? The father had already accepted with das. So that is what Rav Nachman Yitzchok explains. You're right. The father already received it. B'shani ha'cha da'am rachmona ya'ada. Here it's different. It's like Gzeir Sakasa, where the Torah tells you the terminology that's used is a word of deya, of awareness, of acceptance, and therefore we require the other to notify and have the consent of the girl before he's doing the yid. We're... What do you mean? You already had the father's consent. You have his awareness. It was originally given for Kedushin. You're right. But the Torah here is requiring a new yediya of the Amavriya, for whatever reason the Torah wants to exist, Akasim, where when we're transferring it to from the Abdus to Ishus, although the Rig was a consent from the girl's side when she got engaged, the Torah is still requiring it. So again, that's that Machlek is in Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's opinion. So the Gemara says, my Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, what is this Tanoic opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, where obviously we're saying that it's that there's a dispute over here regarding if he says the Moisir Rishonis will give an oven for Kedushin or not. What is his opinion that they're disputing? Well, obviously, it seems like on some level, it seems like that there's requires a new awareness right now. There's a new Kedushin that's happening right now, where again, either because the Mois or Shainas were not given over Kedushin, or like Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, even if it was given over Kedushin, but still the Torah requires a new Ya'adah, a new awareness, a new Kinyan over here later on when the transfer happens. Again, because so if that's the case, so what's the difference? The difference is regarding the Halach of Rebbe Kiva, which was what we were discussing in the previous daf. The time, like Lina Braisa, says in the Pasuk, two different concepts in the Pasuk, where it talks about that if she's rob in adoneha asher lo yada, that for him that there should be, and he doesn't do yiyud, which is the halachic relevance of kedushin in regards to the master and the Jewish maidservant. So if he doesn't do that, so the next word the Torah says is vehefta. So then he has to go ahead and assist her in having herself redeem herself from the slavery by prorating the amount that's left. Now what we see from the smichas from these two words near each other is telling us that yud can only be done if there's pedia. What does that mean? Meaning if, let's say, at the end of harvest of her 6 years, he said, like, okay, you know what? You're my slave woman for so long. Let's go ahead and get married. Let's do yud. So there has to be enough time in the day that if he would have calculated regarding what's called this geroyin to do hefter, to do redemption, there would be at least a pruta's worth of work left that he would say, you know, instead of that pruta's worth, let's take that pruta, that amount of work that you still owe me, and utilize that for kedushin. Let's transfer where there could have been pidyon, because there's enough. She could pay her way out. There's at least a pruta's worth of work that she would like. Okay, I have a pruta. Let me go out a pruta early. Then is as the Braisa says, tzarech shehei shoyis b'yom kedei pedia. There has to be enough time in the day that she would still have some, at least a pruta's worth of work owed to him, that if she had a pruta in her pocket, she could say, here's the pruta and I'm leaving. Then there could be the halacha of yud. So mekana, Rabbi Yisrael Behuda, this is where Rabbi Yisrael Behuda says this halacha, im yesh shoyis b'yom kedei lasas ima yishav a pruta, if there's enough time in the day that she would still owe amount of work worth of a pruta, then if the master then wants to transfer that to yud, then she's mukadesh, then she's engaged. In love, any mukadeshes, but if not, she's not engaged. Now, Amma, so this is where we see, Kesava Mois Rishonis Lav Likadushan Itnum. And this is where the Gemara is going to illustrate their machlokes in his opinion. The first opinion held, so obviously he holds that the original monies that was given to the father was not given for Kedushan purposes. Why? Because if you would say the father had received it with the intention of the master ultimately doing Yid with it, and that the Kedushan of Yid was ultimately received by the father back way then even if there wouldn't be even a pruta's worth of time left to do work, but since at least it was still in the 6 years that he tells her, be miyuy to me, then there would be yud retroactively from the time that she was sold, because it was then that the father had received the mois of kedushin. So why would Rabbi Yisrael just say that you still need to have a pruta's worth of work left? Obviously, because, says the first opinion, he holds mois rishonis lav kedushin itnu. That wasn't kedushin. So where are you creating Kedushin? That has to be at least what we said in the opening mission of this Mesechta, according to Beisal, a Shava Pruta. Where do you get a Shava Pruta? Ah, there's still a Shava Pruta. There's still a worth of Pruta's work owed to him. And then he says, let's transfer that. That will create Kedushin. But if not, even though it's still within the 6 years, then there's no Kedushin being made now, because the original acceptance was not for Kedushin. Whereas of Nachmi Yisra Karmah, he disagreed, as we mentioned before. He says, that he says that you could even say Rabbi Yisrael Behuda holds, no, the original monies received by the father was for Kedushin. But Shani Hacha, Dam Rachman of Hafta, here it's different because the Torah tells you like this Gezeiras HaKasev, similar to the concept we mentioned before, where although, yes, conceptually you would say one way, but the Torah is telling you that Yud has to be similar to Behafta, where although Yud was already accepted the money way back when, but still, since the Torah says the Hafta right next to the word Yud, just like if Hafta is only possible to pay your way out, if there's at least a pruta's worth, because there's no denomination lower than that. So that's so too what the halachic requirements are for you. There has to be at least a shava pruta's worth to then transfer. So that's their machlekes in Rabbi Yisrael Behuda's opinion, which was what was mentioned in the previous daf, regarding the interpreting a certain halacha, which was based on this machlekes in Rabbi Yisrael Behuda's opinion. Do we see that he's obviously holding mois rishonis lav kedushin itnu? Or like if Nachum Mitzvah says, no, you could say he holds mois rishonis was given for kedushin. Still, the Torah tells Xeis HaKasev that you need her awareness now, that you need to go ahead and have at least a Shavuot Pruta's worth of the Hefta. Now, based on this halacha of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Oima Adam Labita Ketana, a man could tell his minor daughter, Tzi V'kibli Kedushayich, you go out and you receive your kedushin. Where although it's the father that could marry off his daughter, the daughter herself doesn't have das, she, let's say if she's an orphan, cannot marry herself off, at least not biblically. Still, says Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, that I could prove to you that a father could tell his minor daughter that you go ahead and you do your own kedushin. Where do you know this from? Midir b'yisir Rabbi Yehuda. Lav am Rabbi Yehuda, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, mois harishaynois lav l'kedushin itnu, and he's going according to that interpretation. That obvious that he says that the first monies that the father received from the master to sell his daughter were not given for the kedushin purposes. Now, b'chimishayir b'shava pruta have a kedushti. However, if there's at least a shava pruta's worth of work left, we said that the daughter could get engaged to the master. Now, how's that possible? How's she getting engaged to the master? She's a minor, and the father, he didn't receive her kedushin, her money for kedushin. So who's consenting, who's accepting the Kedushin money for the girl to get engaged through Yud to the master? So obviously you see that since the father sold her, and he knows that the master will ultimately be able to do Yud, because that's what the Torah says. So later on, when she accepts, it's her consent. So what is that halachic conceptualization? It's like as if he told his daughter, you go ahead and accept your Kedushin, because that's what's going to happen then, where he's selling her, in other words, telling her that you could go ahead and receive it later on when you have at least a Shavah Prut is worth to create the Kedusha Yud. And so therefore, that's the same concept. Here also, it's no different where a father could tell his daughter, go ahead and you receive the Kedushin. Even though she's a minor and the father's not receiving it, he has no clue what she's going to do, yes or no, but I'm giving you that choice. That's exactly the halacha you could learn now from the halacha of Yir, according to Reis Behuda, where the original monies were not for Kedushin, and yet the father's consenting and allowing the daughter at a later point in time to accept her Kedushin, which is going to be through Yir, that's going to be transferred, at least if there's a Shavah Prut is worth. So to another halacha, V'amr Rava, Amr Rav Nachman, that he also learns out from Reis Behuda's halacha. He says, HaMekadesh B'milva Sheyesh Alea Mashkin. If someone engages a woman with a loan that has collateral, so Mekudeshes, she will be engaged, and that is also known from Medrash Yehuda. Now, Tosfos just points out, very important, where the discussion over here is even if the mashkin, the collateral, has not been given back. Rather, he's just forgiving her of the loan. So even though he's still holding on to the collateral, now that's, and Tosfos says that the way you know that that's the case is because the way it's described over here is someone's mekadesh b'milva sheyesh alei mashkin. The kedushin is happening with the loan. It's just that loan has collateral, but he's not creating the kedushin with the collateral itself. Now the chiddush of this is because we already learned this halacha on the previous daf. So where we said that you can be mekadesh with a milva, where if you're forgiving of the loan, here the chiddush is that even though that where there's a mashkin, it's actually you would think it would be worse. Because you would think that she's not relying, because since he didn't give her back the collateral, so she's not so clear that this loan has been forgiven. That's the chiddush that we're going to learn from Rabbi Yisrael's halacha, that is going to create kedushin even though he hasn't given her back the mashkin. So of course you can be mekadesh b'milva. That we know from Abaya, we know from a previous daf, where you can be mekadesh b'milva if saying, you owe me this money, you don't have to pay it back to me. Hanos milva. But here, it's even though he didn't give her back the mashkin, he's still holding on to that. It's like, wait a second, if you forgave the loan, why did you give me back the mashkin? That even that case, she'll be mekudeshes with the forgiving of the loan. And the proof is because lav amar Reis Behuda, didn't Reis Behuda tell us, mois rishonos lav l'kedushin nitnu, as we said before. He holds that the original money is given to the father was not given for kedushin purposes. And so ultimately, how does Yud create a kedushin? It's only through the geroin, the amount of money that's prorated, that's still left, that there is over there, which that's ultimately transferred into kedushin. Now, hai halvahi, essentially, that is a loan, meaning that she owes him either that monies or that value of it. And v'hi gufa mashkin hi, she is the collateral for that loan, because how does he know he's going to get paid up? Well, either you give me back the money, or the Amavri is going to do that work, and she's the collateral. Now, as we continue to Amud Beis, v'chim mishayir bar shavah pruta miyai. Now, the halacha is that, as we said before, when there's at least a shavah pruta's worth of work left, Sedra Beis Yehuda, if the other then goes ahead and transfer that into Yud, have a kedushin. That's going to be kedushin with what? With the halva, with the loan of the money that was given by the other into the girl's family, with her being the mashkin. Therefore, says Rabbi, here also it's going to be the same thing. There's no difference. Where if a man goes ahead and is mekadesh a woman with what's called hanois milva, by either forgiving the loan or extending the time of the loan, where even if he has the collateral that he still is holding on to and he's not giving it back to her, still we see from this halacha that that's going to create a kedushin, because that's exactly the case that we're describing in the Torah's halacha of Yud, according to Reis Behuda, where the original monies were not for kedushin, and the whole thing is like halva, and when he's forgiving on that, because he's saying that keep that monies and use that as moist of kedushin, that's a halva that he's forgiving, which is called hanois milva, which again, even though he still has her as the mashkin, still she's accepting of it, and she's not what's called like samchadaita. It's not like she's thinking, oh wait a second, if you're forgiving, then why am I still here? We see that that will create a kedushin. Now the Gemara continues with another topic, again, that will relate back to the previous Gemara's discussion. Tan Rabban Ulun Nabraisa. Continue on these halachas of Ketzad Mitzvahs Yid. How is the halacha of Yid? How does that work? What do you do? Because ultimately, she's your slave woman. You already paid the father. What happens now that it suddenly becomes into a kedushin? So that says the Braisa. Ayim l'befnei shnayim. He tells her in front of two people. Hariat mukadeshesli. Behold, you are engaged to me. Or hariat muresesli. A similar terminology. You're engaged to me. Where he doesn't give her anything now. As we said, it's actually just transferring the original monies now into Kedushin. Says the first opinion, afilu b'seif shesh. Even if it's on the end of the 6 years, on the day which she would be completing and concluding her slavery, v'afilu samach l'shkiyas acham, it's right before the sun is setting. If the sun sets, boom, she's out, she's going back home. Now, if at least a moment before the day's over, if he tells her, I want this, harit mu'edis, harit mukadeshesli, that will create yud. And v'noig b'minik ishus, and from that moment on, he starts treating her like a wife, v'ein noig b'minik shivchis, and he stops treating her like the maidservant that she was for the last 6 years. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees, as we mentioned his opinion in the previous Gemara's discussion. He says, no. It's only if there's at least amount of time in the day that she still owed him a worth of a pruta of work, then if he told her at that time, I want to transfer that into Kedushin, into Yud, then Mekudeshes, then she'll be engaged. But if Lav, ain't the Mekudeshes, but if not, she's not going to be engaged. Says the Braisa, Mashal, in other words, from here you could learn, Lo imali Isha. When a man tells a woman, Hiskachli ma'achshav la'achash lo'isham yoyim, I want you to be engaged to me from now, for after 30 days, now within those 30 days, another man comes ahead and gets engaged to that same woman. Says the Braisa, you learn from this halacha that we mentioned before, shemukadesh es l'rishon, that it's, another man cannot engage her. She's already engaged to the first guy. Because essentially what the first guy had told her was, I want the kedushin that I'm giving you now to take effect from right now. That is, if I want to get engaged after 30 days, I'll tell you after 30 days. I mean, I'm giving you the kedushin now, and I'll let you know after 30 days. So you learn from that halacha that she's already engaged to the first guy, even though it's only taking effect after 30 days. You learn that from the halacha that we mentioned before from Yud. Now the Gemara asks, Mashal Laman, from whose opinion, we had a machlokes in the Braisa, Tanakam and Reis Behuda, regarding the halacha of Yud, from whose halacha are we learning this concept that you said, that if a man tells a woman, Me'achshav la'achash leishem yayim, and another guy would try to get engaged within those 30 days, that it won't be valid because she's already engaged to the first guy. So the Gemara says, Ilema Mishal Mashal Abiz Behuda, if you would think, which it seemed like, because that was the last opinion mentioned, and then it said Mashal, that it's referencing the last opinion mentioned, Abiz Behuda, how can you say that? Hoim Yeshois Bayoim K'dei Lassus Imayishav Aprutu Mekudashes. Abiz Behuda had said that only if there's enough time in the day that she still owes him a pruta's worth of work, and then he says, Hare ad mukadeshesli, then she'll be mukadeshes. Vim lav loy, but if there's not that amount of time, even though there's still more time, but there's not a shavah pruta's worth of time, she will not be engaged. So obviously you see he holds that right now is when the kedushin is taking effect with the giroyin, with the prorated amount of time that there's at least a shavah pruta's worth left. And if it's taking effect right now, so how can you say you learn that from his halacha that, oh, when someone says mi'achshav, that let's do kedushin now. If I want it to happen at a later point in time, that it's like it took effect now, not a later point in time. But Rabbi Yehuda Halach is actually not like that. When the father received the original monies, it's like Me'achshav La'achu La'amayim, because it's when the master will ultimately decide to do Yid, it's not like taking effect right now. It's actually only taking effect at the later point in time, because that's why he holds it has to be a pruta's worth to create the kedushin at the end of the 6 years. So rather, Amr of Achabar Bered de Ravi, he says, no, Mashal Rabbanan. It was from the opinion of the Chachamim, of the Tanakhama, that we learn that they say that even if there's not a pruta's worth of time left, still it will create Kedushin, because they hold it was for that intention that the original monies were given to the father, which is that if the master wants to ultimately, at whatever point in time during the 6 years, to do Yud, it should be Me'achshav from now when the father receives the money. Because if it wouldn't take effect from the beginning, then how would, according to the Chacham, the Kedushin be taking effect a moment before Shkia when there's not even the Shavah Prutah's worth amount of work? Because it's not regarding the Geroyin, it's not the monies left that's taking effect, it's taking effect from the father's original monies that were received all the way back in the beginning of the 6 years. So the Gemara actually asked that Pshita. So according to the opinion of Chacham, that's obvious that you could learn out that halacha from their opinion. Why was it necessary for the Braisa to say, oh, that you could learn out that halacha from their opinion? So the Gemara says, no, Ma'adutema, we would have thought to say, Haloi Amarle, that the master did not tell the father, Me'achsha, from now. And that is, you would think to learn out from the halacha of Yid, according to the Chachamim, that even if the man telling this woman did not say, Me'achsha, from now, you would think to learn that even if a man tells a woman, Hareat Mekudeshesli, La'achash Leishin, He gives her money and says, you're engaged to me after 30 days. Based on the halacha, the chacham, you would think that even then, without saying the word me'achshav, she'd be engaged to the first guy. Because essentially, that's the same that happens by yid. The master didn't say to the father when he's getting the money that if I want to do yid, it should be from now. No, they just know that he's receiving the money. No one said anything about kedushin. But it's like la'achal amid yayim, without saying me'achshav. Whenever you want to do yid, it's going to be yid. And still you see that it's happening retroactively from the beginning. So you think the same thing applies to a regular woman when he says, without the word from now, if he just says la'achal amid yayim, it would take effect retroactively, and the second guy would not be able to do kedushin. That's what the chiddush of the Tana, the Brice, is saying, that what we learn from the mashal of the words of the Rabbanan is only if you say me'achshav. If not, not. Because yud is different. Yud, the Torah gave it that power of working retroactively. But a regular guy going to a woman, he says, la'achal amid yayim, it's only going to take effect after 30 days. So if another guy comes within those 30 days and does kedushin, his kedushin has preceded that first guy's. It's only if you say me'achshav la'achal amid yayim, which then is going to work retroactively, that will be like the halacha l'chachamim regarding yud. Tani Yidich, we learned a different brisa, again, a similar type of a discussion. If someone sells his daughter as a maidservant, then, as she's a slave to this man, he sells her for a kedushin to another man. Says the first opinion, he could laugh at the master, and she will be engaged to the second guy that he did kedushin for, Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And again, that's because, as we know, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the yud of the master only happens when he does it. With whatever money is left, that's what has to be shavaprut left. So even though he has the authority to do, there's already consent, he could already do yud, but since he didn't do it yet, the father could already have done kedushin, even though he had already sold her to another man. Whereas v'chachamim, they say no, imrotz liyayid miyayid. Even if the father, so to speak, sold her for kedushin at some point during the slavery before the master did yud to kedushin to another man, the master could still do yud. And the reason is, as we explained, because they hold the works retroactively, so basically the adin's yud preceded the second man's yud. Says the Braisa, Mashal, in other words, from their opinion, we could learn lo'im le'isha, to someone that tells a woman, hared mekudeshes li'la'achar shloishim yom. If someone says to a woman, you're engaged to me after 30 days, and then another man comes and engages her within the 30 days, that she's engaged to the second guy. So the Gemara asks, Moshul Aman. So from whose opinion is it that we would learn this halacha? So Ilem the Rabban, if you would entertain to say it's the Rabbanan, which again in this price, they're the last opinion mentioned, right before it says Moshul. So if it's their opinion that it's a continuation from, but Ami Rabbanan Emirat Liyad Miyai, but the Rabban say that no, if the master wants to do Yid, they could do yid, and that she's not engaged to the second guy. So how could you learn out a contradicting halacha, which says that the second guy's kedushin will take effect, even though the first one had already done kedushin? So El Amr Vacha Bredi Rav, he says it's Moshe Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. We could learn this out from Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the reason being is because since he didn't say Mi'akshah from now, so although that there could be kedushin at a later point in time, but since someone else came beforehand, that second person's kedushin is going to be a kedushin. Sayerosa, it's not going to be any difference. Where although he said, be engaged to me after 30 days, but since you didn't say from now, that's exactly like how Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda explains the halacha of yud, where someone else's kedushin, if it comes before that 30 days or before the yud's done, it will be a kedushin. So the Gemara's Peshitta, that's also pretty obvious as an extension of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's halacha. What's the time of the Brisa teaching us? Says the Gemara, Ma'adu Tema, what would we would think to say, Halei Amar Lo. He did not tell her at the time that he gave her the monies, la'achar shloishim yoyim. When the halacha of yud that we're learning out from Yisrael Yehuda's halacha, when the master gave the father money, he didn't say that on the condition that I'll be able to do yud at a later point in time. So maybe there Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said that she'll be engaged to the second guy. But in this case that we're describing where a man tells a woman, I want you to be mekudeshes to me after 30 days. So we would have thought to say that even though he didn't say from now, it would take effect from now, and she would be engaged to the first guy if he wants to at the end of 30 days, even though another guy came in the middle. That's what the Chiddush of the Braisa is, that no, those two cases are analogous. And since the Torah had said that yud works with these monies to take effect at a later point in time, so originally when the master had given these monies to the father, it was for that in purpose that it was given. So it was almost like he had said that if I want to, it's almost as if he said that. It's like, here's monies, that if I want to engage her after 30 days, after 30 years, after 3 years, whatever it is, within the 6 years, then I could do yud. So it's like you said, la'achar la'megim, and still Rabbi Yehuda says, since he didn't say from now, that she will be engaged to a second guy if that was done before the yid of the master. So we learned regarding the same halacha where a man tells a woman, I want you to be engaged to me after 30 days, although he's giving her the money right now. Since it wasn't said from now, we learn from Bezbi Huda that if another man comes before the 30 days and engages her, she's engaged to the second guy and not the first guy. Tanidach, we learn another braisa. Says, Amoicher es bitoy. Someone sells his daughter, Upasak amanas shaloi liyayit. And one of the conditions for the sale was that I don't want you to marry her. I need money. We're desperate, our family. Selling my daughter as a maidservant, but I don't want that you should be able to take her as a wife. Says the first opinion, Niskaima tonight, it's a valid condition. Divrei Meir, Meir says that is a valid sale. He could buy her, but he can't go ahead and do yid. The sages say, Imrutz liyayit miyayit. If the master wants to do yid, he could do yid, notwithstanding the father's conditions. Because the father made a condition which is contradicting a Torah law. Whoever makes a condition which is contradicting a Torah law, his condition is void. The Torah says if he's selling a daughter, you could only sell her within the framework of Amavriya. And the Torah says Amavriya, the master, could go ahead and do yid with her. Your conditions are notwithstanding, they're going to be void, and therefore the master could do yid. Now the Gemara asks, according to a mayor, the condition is valid? But Ratanya will learn the Braisa, if someone tells a woman, Haret mukadeshesli, behold, you're engaged to me, let's do Kedushin. Amanash in lo chalai she'ik sozvaina. On the condition, although we're getting married, you have no rights on me that I have to feed you, that I have to clothe you, that I have to have marital relations with you. Says the first opinion, Harezu mukadeshes, she's engaged, and utinoi bottle, and the conditions are void, and he has to fulfill those conditions. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Divrei Meir. Because the Torah says you marry a woman, you have those requirements. You can't marry a woman and tell her on condition that there's no these things are not applicable. That's contradicting what the Torah says. And that's the opinion of Reb Meir, that a Tanai that's contradicting Torah law is not a valid Tanai. Now, Reb Yehuda Omer, he says, B'davar shebemamon, regarding monetary law of the Torah, which a person could forgive, even if the Torah says you owe me this money, I could still be meichelit, then Tanoi Kaim, then Rebbe Yehuda says, in those areas, it is a valid condition. So regarding She'er and Ksus, where those are monetary requirements the husband has to the woman, that's a valid condition because she's like forgiving it. So it's like you gave it, but I'm forgiving it, so therefore it's not contradicting Torah law. But regarding Aina, regarding marital relations, which that's a physical pain, where you can't forgive that, that's not like monies. So there, Rebbe Yehuda would agree that the Tanoi is going to be batal. But their machlekes is regarding the davar shebemamon aspect. But one thing we see from this price is there, it may hold, you cannot make a Tanai on Masha Kasa Batara. So how does he say over here that you could sell the Amar Vriya on the contingencies that there's not going to be yield, but it's Masna on Masha Kasa Batara and he holds Tanai's bottle? So Amachiski Chizkiya explains that Shani Hacha, here by yield it's different. The Amar Kra, because the Pasik says in Shemais, it says, V'chiyim ka ishas bita, if a man's going to sell his daughter La'ama for a maidservant. So what that's telling us, according to Reb Meir, is pa'amim she'ena meicher elam bovat. There are going to be times when he's only selling her to be a maidservant. That's what we learned from the pasuk that he's selling her to be only an ama and not to be a wife. So you're right that you cannot contradict Torah law, but the Torah is telling us that there are times that you could sell if you make that tanayim, those contingencies that it could be only for purposes of slavery and not for yid. Now the Gemara asks, so then Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, that they hold that you cannot make this condition. So hi la'amma my avdile, what do they do with this pasuk of la'amma, which sounds like that it's only for maidservant purposes? They hold that's not true. There's always going to be the ability of doing yud, of doing kedushin with that. So that the Gemara says, hi me ba'iluhu l'kedetanya. They needed to teach a different halacha, like we learned in the Braisa. It says in the pasuk la'amma, that when a man sells his daughter to be a maidservant, that's malama, that teaches shemeichu l'psulim, that the father could sell her to men that are considered invalid type of men for marital relations, which is a mamzer and a nosin, where they're not allowed to do yid, and she's only allowed to be sold to them, obviously for purposes of slavery, because they can't go ahead and consummate that relationship. That's what the pasuk is teaching la'amma. It's not teaching that you can make such a tanai, you cannot, but you could sell her to certain people where they won't be able to do yid, because they're mamzer, illegitimate, or from the people of the Givonim, from the Sinim, that's what it's teaching her from La'ama, that's only going to be for slavery, where he could sell her for psula. Now, that the Brisa says, but it's actually difficult why you need a pasuk to teach that. Because v'haloi dinhu, it's a kava chaymer that you could, the father could sell her to a pasul. Because im mikacha lebsulim, if a father could engage his daughter to a mamzer and a nasin. Now the reason why he could do that is because although there's a negative prohibition in the Torah, but kedushin are typhus. Kedushin takes effect even regarding a relations which is a negative prohibition. So if the father could engage her to a pasul, loyim korena lebsulim, isn't it a kava chaymer that he would be able to sell her to someone that's pasul? In other words, what's the big deal regarding this inability of having this, that we would think you can't sell her to a pasul, where you could even do something greater than this, where you could even sell her, you could even be mekadosh to a pasul. So what's the requirement of saying that you could sell it to a pasul? So the Brisa responds, no, it was necessary to learn that from a pasul. It's not a kal v'chomer because madle mekadosh the besulim, because what are you proving from the fact that the father could engage her to a pasul? We find that regards to kedushin, the father has greater strengths than he has regarding selling, because shekein odem mekadosh et bita kishinara. We see that a father could engage, could marry off his daughter, when even though she's over the age 12, if she's not yet a bageres, even if she brought two simanim ready, as we learn on Daf Dalam Abayz from the pasuk of Yatzachinim in Kasef, that the father could still engage her when she's a naira. Now, therefore, he could engage her to even a pasul. But yim karen lepsulin. But who? Why would we think that he could sell her to a pasul? But actually, regards to sales, he doesn't have that much strength in his daughter. And as we find, she'ino de meicher is bita kishinara, we find that the father cannot sell his daughter when she's a naira, which is actually learned from a kavachayim in Masechtas Erechin, Chavtes Mabez, which says that if when she was already sold by her father, she actually leaves her master's domain when she becomes a naira, so if she wasn't even sold yet, it's for sure a kavachayim that you can't sell her when she's already a naira. So therefore the Gemara says, no, we would not know from a kavachayim. That's why, tamalem alama, that's what you needed to have from the pasuk to teach you that there are times that she's going to be sold only to be a maidservant. Malamet shemarech lebsum, that teaches us that he could sell her to someone that's a pasul, which cannot do yiyud. Again, not because of a contingency that you're not allowed to do, because that's being masna mashakas b'teira. It's actually regards to the fact that it just won't be able to have yiyud. Still, you could sell it to such a person that's going to be only la'ama. And again, it wouldn't have been known from a kal v'chomer from the fact that you could even be mekadosh to a pasul, because the father has more strength in kedushin in contrast to mechira. That's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he disagrees with this Tanna Kamma. He says, "Im l'lamet shemoich lepsulim, if this pasuk of la'ama was coming to teach us that he could sell her to someone that's a pasul, someone invalid for the Jewish people, like a mamz and a nosin, harik v'anemer." That he says, you already learned that from a different part of the pasuk, which says, "Imra be'ene adoineha," that if it's bad in the eyes of her master to go ahead and do yiud with this girl, to do kedushin, what does that mean? Shira b'nisu'eha, because it's bad in the marriage of them, because that she's forbidden to him. But kedushin would be typhus, because like the pasuk is saying, ashalo ya'ada, that he's not doing yiud. In other words, he could do yiud, but it's inappropriate to do yiud, where because he's a pasul. So obviously you learn that from there that of course she could be sold to a pasul, because it's saying that he shouldn't be doing yiud with her. So if so, matam alam al-amma. So if you already know that from imra ba'in adineha, so according to Rebbe Eliezer, what do you learn that from the words if he's going to sell her as a maidservant, which sounds like only for slavery, not for yiud? So Malama, he says, that comes to teach Shemaicha that he could sell her, as we continue on top of Chaf Aman Aleph, likroivim. He could even sell it to relatives, where that's even a bigger chiddush. Because here, it's you can't even have the feasibility of yid, at least by mamzer and nasan with the psulim. It's that he could do yid, but he shouldn't be doing yid. Because although kedushin is typhus, but it's a negative prohibition to get married to such a person. But here what we're talking about is, by a relative, it's arayis. Kedushin is not even going to be typhus. That's the chiddush, that even though there's no even feasibility of yiud, still Amma's teaching us that he could sell her to be just a maidservant and no yiud with that. To which the Brisa responds to Rabbi Eliezer, as it did to the opinion of Tanna Kamma, and it says, what do you mean? Why do you need a pasuk of La'amma to teach that he could sell it to Karevim? V'aloi dinu. It's a kal v'chomer. Because im meicher lepsulim, if, as Rabbi Eliezer had learned that from the other part of the pasuk, imra b'in adinah, that he could sell it to a pasul, which is a totally degrading type of a thing, to mamzer and a nasin. Salim Karen Lakraven, so wouldn't you think it's a Kal V'chaymer that he could sell it to just relatives? Not to which the Bryce responds, no, that wouldn't be a Kal V'chaymer, because Ma'ala Meichel Ipsulim, maybe he could sell it to apostle, a mamzer or the Nasan, Shemrutz Liyad Miyad, where there, although that yud should not be done, but at least there's the feasibility of being yud being done, because Kedushin, yud is typhus, when there's just a Chiv Lavin. Whereas Yim Karen Lakraven, who would say that he could sell it to Kraven, to a relative, where Shemrutz Liyad Miyad, where there, even if he wanted to do yid, he wouldn't be able to do yid, so therefore it wouldn't be a Kal V'chaymer. That's why Amakra, that's why Kontra B'liyaz, the Pasuk says, La'ama, where he's selling it out for a maidservant, Malamit Shemaych L'Kraven, that teaches us that he could sell it to relatives, where it's going to be only for Amma, only for the purposes of slavery. Now the Gemara explains, V'Rameir, Rameir, who he expounded this word of La'ama to teach us, that he can make conditions that he wants to sell her as a maidservant only for the purposes of slavery and not to do yud. So Lipsulin, how does he know that you could sell a maidservant to even someone that's apostle? Nafkele mehecha de nafkele l'Rabbi Eliezer. He learns it out from where Rabbi Eliezer learns it out, which is not from La'ama, which is how the Tanakhama does, but Rameh would not be able to because he uses La'ama to say you could be masna on this halacha. He rather learns it out from the pasuk of Imra be'ena deneha. Now, Bekraivim, in regards to the ability of selling her to relatives, Sabal Krabanan, he holds like the Rabbanan, who we quoted on the Yitchesim Abayz, where the army, they say, Ein Meichel Krabanan, that you cannot sell it to relatives. So that's how Rameir learns that all these halachas, Krabanan, you actually cannot. Regarding Apostle, he learns that from Rab Ein Adinah. And regarding this, that you can make the condition, Amanas, that there's no yid, that he learns out from the extra word of La'ama. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by bringing Tanachad, we learned in one Braisa, a man is allowed to sell his daughter as a slave to his father, but he can't sell him, can't sell his daughter to his son. Now, Batan Idach, we learn another braisa that he can't sell her neither to his father, because she's forbidden to him because that she's his son's daughter, which is an erva. And he can't sell his daughter as a slave, neither to his son, which that's going to be his sister, and Kedushin is not Teufis in Chiva Krisis, which is between a brother and a sister, as the Gemara teaches on later on Daf Samach Vav Beis. So the Gemara wonders between these two braises. Bishleime eina meichu leila aviv leila b'nai. We understand the braise that teaches that the father cannot sell his daughter neither to this father's father or to his own son, because that's going karabon, like the Rabbanon who said you can't sell a daughter in slavery to a relative where that's an erva, where there's no yid feasibility at all. But Ella Meichula Avave Meichula Benai Kaman, how do we understand the Tana that says that he could sell her to his father, but he can't sell her to his son? Who's that like? Like Rabbanan, but like Rabbi Eliezer. It's not like Rabbanan who say you cannot sell to relatives, because then why could you sell her to your father? And it's not like Rabbi Eliezer who said that you could sell to relatives, because then why can't you sell to the son? So that the Gemara says, Lo'ilam Krabbanan. This Braisa could also be going like the opinion of the Rabbanan. But they disagree with the other Braisa, and that is Meidur Rabban, and they say the Rabban agree, Hecha de'ikud sad yud. If there's at least an element of yud possible, then that's going to be permitted. In other words, because when he sells his daughter to his father, and his father has a son, meaning besides this other son who's selling his own daughter to his father, that then that his father, meaning the girl's grandfather, has a son that could do yid with the Amevriya, which is his granddaughter, which is her uncle. And the uncle is allowed to get married to his niece. Now, that's why when the Tana the Braisa says, you could sell her to your father, because there's going to be a permitted way of yid, which is with, there's two options, the master or the son. And the son, in that case, could do it. So that's not a problem of the halacha of Karevim. But when he sells her to his son, there's no option of yud, not for the son and not for the son's son, because that would be achais aviv, that would be his father's sister, which that is an erva. His aunt is an erva, so either one would be either a sister or an aunt, which would be an erva, and therefore that would be considered in the halacha of kerevim, which the Rabbanan say that kerevim are not valid to sell to, because you have to have at least the option of yud, and there's no option of yud. Whereas by the father, that's the machlokes between these two brais and the opinion of Rabbanan. One holds that no, yud has to be possible in all situations. And since the grandfather himself cannot do yud, so then you can't have the sale. Whereas the other brais said that no, you could sell to the father's father, because even though he can't do yud, but his son could do yud, and therefore since it's the option of yud, that's where it's going to be a valid sale as an amavriyah.